Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go in our Bible to Psalm 103 tonight. I said Psalm 103. Yeah. Psalm 103, let's go there. And like I said, we're talking about our covenant with God. Tonight, I want to talk about just some of our benefits. There's a lot, so, you know, we're not going to cover all of them, but we're going to cover, hit some highlights here and talk about some of our benefits. You know, because one of the things that I think stands out to, when I look back at when I first got saved, one of the things that stands out to me was finding out that what I had, I spent my time finding out what belonged to me in Christ Jesus, you know, which I didn't know, you know, when before I got saved, nobody would, you know. I didn't know that. I never had been to a church where I heard them ever talk about you anything other than salvation. You know what I mean by salvation, the new birth. So I didn't know that, you know, in the midst of all this, that not only did we have the new birth, but we had a lot of other blessings. That was news to me. And, you know, somebody, I was hungry. I'm still hungry. I don't get people that aren't. I can't relate to you. I never had an issue with that. I'm still hungry. I'm still searching. I'm still finding out. And I'm still listening to some of the things, the teachings I listened to, you know, about 40 years ago. I haven't moved on. You know what I'm saying? In the sense that I've learned some things, but I'm still feeding on that. Amen. I'm still feeding on those things, you know, because they're truth. You know, just like the song we sang tonight, there's something about that name. That song's still good. That song's still anointed. And it's been around a while. I mean, not hundreds of years, because Gloria Gaither is the one who wrote the song. And so she's still alive. And of course, Phyllis and I, we like the Gaithers. There's a little Southern gospel in us, in case you didn't know. Hey! So we like the Gaithers, you know. I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, but we get our hanky out with Vestal. I said we can. And for those of you who don't know who Vestal is, she's in heaven waving her hanky right now. Praise God. But we like that kind of thing, you know. That's part of my heritage growing up spiritually. Anyway, being around people like that. But I didn't know that I had, you know, anything other than, you know, when I got saved, or I didn't think there was anything other than just, you're going to heaven now. You're not going to miss the rapture. And that's a real good benefit. If that's all you ever got, I mean, that'd be enough to shout about. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Yes. But I began to learn. I began to find out things. People, you know, thank God for people that, you know, were Word of Faith people that I ran into in those days. I'm still a Word of Faith person, by the way. Yes, amen. I always will be. That doesn't mean I necessarily embrace everything some of our brothers teach, because I don't necessarily, but most of it I do. But, you know, there's a few things that we, you know, because people, when they hear Word of Faith, they think all we do is just talk about, you know what I'm saying? People make stuff up about us. You know, they think all we do is talk about prosperity, and if you give a dollar, you're going to get a billion back or something like that. We don't teach that kind of stuff. Now, they say we teach. I like what Brother Copeland said one time. He said, "Boy, I wish I was as rich as Wikipedia says I am." He said, "I wish I was that rich." You know, you get online, they'll tell you, it's like everything on that side of Texas, he owns it, you know. And he's like, "Man, I wish that was true." You know, it's just a bunch of lies, you know. But the world believes it, you know. And there's a lot of the church believe, you know, like when you think about Pentecostal or Spirit-filled, they think all we do is have service and we roll on the floor and, you know, and we speak in tongues all the time and we swing from the chandeliers. And I remember down at Gleason when I was there at the Revival Center, there was rumor going around town. They said, "You know, you go to that church, I'm going to tell you what, they turn the lights on, they turn the lights off, they lock the doors, and they roll in the floor." I said, "That is not true. We do not lock the doors or turn the lights off." But if the Lord would knock you in the floor, that'd make you a holy roller, wouldn't it? And that'd be all right, amen. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, if you haven't experienced the power of God to knock you down, then you need to experience some more power, because I have. And, you know, you may say, well, I don't believe in that. Well, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just stay on your feet. Amen. Amen. But you never know what might happen. Amen. Because it's all Bible. It's in the Bible. Amen. And they came to get Jesus, you know. They said, we're looking for Jesus. He said, I am He. And they all fell backwards. Well, power of God knocked them down, see. Amen. And you find that, you know, and all that. I mean, you don't have to get knocked down by the power of God to get something, but don't resist it either at the same time, because I've known God to do surgery on people when they were on the floor. Amen. 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 And you know, people that don't understand that, they just don't understand that. I remember the first time Brother Greg came, way back then, and several years ago, and he had heard teaching on TV, Word of Faith teaching, got hungry for it. He was hungry for God. That's why God uses him. And that's why God uses anybody, for that matter, because they're hungry. And so somebody steered him to our church. Well, you know, on TV, they don't show the ministry time. And so we kind of had a calm service the first morning he came, but to him it wasn't calm. And somebody got slain in the spirit, and I saw his eyes get big, because he got, and then afterwards, Phyllis and I, we were going to lunch, and she says, well, and we were talking about them being there, Greg and Terry, and I don't know that the kids were all born yet, but Shelby was born. But anyway, she said, well, at least it was a calm service. I said, you got to understand, honey, if you've never seen anybody slain in the spirit, it was a wild service. It was calm for us, but it isn't for somebody who's never seen that. But you know what? It's all in the Bible. And they're blessings of God. Amen. Amen. And so, but anyway, what I was saying was I didn't know about all the blessings. I didn't know that God would heal you and all the other things that He would do, that He would meet your financial needs and help you in a lot of different areas. I didn't realize that. But really, when you think about it, God's a big God. I said, God's a big God. And to tell me that He made this universe and He can't help me with my little problems, something's wrong with that kind of teaching. Something's wrong with that kind of thinking. Because if He's big enough to make this world, then He's also small enough to get involved in what I'm doing. You understand the way I'm saying that? He humbled Himself to get involved in what I'm doing. And the Bible says that He visits us. And when you study that word visit, it means He looks into our affairs. He checks in and He sees what's going on. God's ready to help us. But, you know, one of the things that helped me, and I taught this last time, one of the things that helped me a lot was when I saw that in Genesis 17, where God told Abraham, I'm going to make my covenant between me and you. Now, that helped me because it helped me understand, you know, because people would say, well, if God... why doesn't God do this over here? Or why didn't God do that over there? And as you study the Bible, you find out that God does things by covenant. He does things by covenant. In other words, and I'm not going to explain all this because if we do, we're not going to get into what we're going to teach on tonight. But just let it suffice to say this. That God makes covenants with men to have an avenue to help them and bless them. He wants to bless them. He wants to help them. Elsewise, why do we even have the new covenant and the old covenant if God doesn't make covenants and work by covenants? Why would we have that? And every church ought to know we have an old covenant, we have a new covenant. Well, it's a covenant, right? Well, why do we have that? Well, it's because that's the way God works. To get to us, He comes through the covenant. For us to get to Him, we got to go through the covenant. You can't get born again without doing what the covenant says. You can't get healed without doing what the covenant says. Sure, there's the gifts of the Spirit where people get healed sometimes and all, but you know, most times it's because of our faith. It's because of our faith. Now, I want you to look here in Psalm 103, and I'm going to just read the first five verses here, And I'm going to try to go through some scripture tonight. I'm not sure if we'll be able to get to all of it, but we're going to look at some of this. Psalm 103, verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." 99.9% of the church doesn't obey that verse. We just half-heartedly worship Him. And He said, "With all that's within me, bless His holy name." I'm not preaching against you. I'm talking about me too. I need some help here. Amen. Amen. "All that's within me, bless His holy name." Well, I will, Pastor, when everything's going good. Well, things won't work out for you if you don't bless the Lord like you should, because He inhabits the praises of His people. You want Him to show up, that's how He shows up. I was reading Psalm 100 one time, and it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Come before you, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." It didn't say come before His presence with sadness. It said gladness. And I realized, you know, God doesn't like gripey guts, grumpy people in His presence. Hallelujah. Amen. He wants us full of joy. Now why? Because of the abundance of everything He's done for us. Think about what if we knew where we were before Jesus saved us. We were under the dominion of the devil. We were going to hell, and Jesus got us out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I read a story, whether this guy's telling the truth or not, that's for you to judge, or for God to judge, or for Him to know. But he claimed that he went to hell for so many minutes. And I read his book. My Lord, folks, if he's right and hell's anything like what this guy described, we ought to shout. I forget the title of the book, but it was so many minutes, called So Many Minutes in Hell. And this did, and he said he went, you know, Brother Hagin went to the entrance of it when he died when he was young and came back to life. God brought him back, and he went down there and he described some of it. He didn't go in, but he went to the entrance and could see the flames of hell. And I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus. I didn't go to hell. And I'm not going to hell. And so I got something to be glad about, and so do you. Amen. Bless the Lord. Verse 1. "O my soul, and all that's within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, and O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." So He's got benefits. Glory to God. Benefit packages. We all know what that's like. If you had a job, you know, you get your benefits. Maybe you get a 2-week vacation, 3-week vacation, 4-week vacation. I don't know. What do they give now? I have no idea. Not enough, Pastor Jerry said. Amen to that. Not enough. But, you know, I've heard, you know, 6 weeks, and then you get, you know, I mean, maybe I shouldn't say this, but Deanne has a baby and Scott gets off work. Am I telling the truth, Scott? He gets like, what do you get, 12 weeks or something? 6 years? What'd you get, Scott? 16 weeks. He didn't go through one. Well, I can't say he didn't go through one pain. He didn't birth the baby. You know what I'm saying? Well, that's benefits, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, Scott's not complaining. Praise God. I'm not complaining about it. I'm talking about benefits. You go, you get a job, you get benefits. Yeah. I don't know. Scott may not work much in his life. They keep this up. But anyway. You know, help me understand that God has benefits. You know, like maybe you go to a job, you get maternity leave. You know, you get vacation, you get personal days, you get a retirement money. Most places probably, or they used to anyway, put money in your retirement account for you, right? And you get different benefits. Amen. I remember when I was working, you know, young and working and working a job, I didn't miss for 6 months and they gave me a pair of fingernail clippers. Benefits. Well, it had the company name on it. So, so how many know God has got better benefits than anybody? And when you get hooked up with Him, when you get in covenant with Him, there's something called benefits. Benefits. What benefits? What do benefits do to you? They benefit you, right? Listen to these benefits. Number one, He forgives all your iniquities. Thank God He does. I said, thank God He does. Now, let me tell you something. He not only forgives all your iniquities in your past, but all of them in your, that you commit after you get born again. You know, as born again people, we're not looking to disobey God. But sometimes people's flesh trips them up and they yield to the flesh. We've all done it. We've all done it. And thank God He forgives all of our iniquities. Amen. You know, I was praying for people in a prayer line here a while back, and one young lady, I got to her and she was crying and all, you know, just couldn't seem to let go of what she had done in the past. Well, I had good news for her. His mercy endureth forever. Amen. Hallelujah. And if the Lord should mark iniquities, the psalmist said, who would stand? But He's ready to forgive, David said. So thank God, one of His benefits is He forgives all of your iniquities. Amen. Has anybody done things and you thought, man, that was dumb, that was stupid, why did I do that? You beat yourself up. Well, you know what? It's good to be remorseful, but listen, once you've turned it over to God, you got to let it go. You got to forgive yourself. Amen. And just realize that, you know, the blood of Jesus is powerful. A guy kept telling me years ago, he'd come to the meetings, you know, I was having meetings in different places, and he would come, he'd travel sometimes a ways to come to our meetings. And he'd get prayer line all the time, and he would always bring up what he did in the past. And I don't know how many times I prayed for him, you know, prayed for him. And then one night, something came on me. I don't know whether it was the Holy Spirit or it was Mark's spirit, but something came on me, and I yelled at him, because, you know, this is like, what, I don't know how many times he's been in line, oh, I missed it in the past, I did this, and I just yelled at him. I said, you know what your problem is? I said, your problem is, and I was yelling when I said it, you have more faith in your sin than you do the blood of Jesus. I can't help you. Get out of the line. And I'm usually not that way. Right? Have ever run you out of the line yet? All right. So there we go. I've got proof. I'm not that way. But I believe it was the Spirit of God, I really do, that had to wake this guy up, that your focus is on what you did and not on what Jesus did. Now, I don't know whether he got help or not, but he never got in the line for that again. I'm hopefully got some help, you know what I'm saying. But I don't. Either way, it stopped him from getting in my prayer line. So, everybody say, He forgives all my iniquities. Notice this, who heals all of your diseases. Now, what's a disease? Well, just look at the word, dis-ease, anything that takes away your ease. Physically, He heals them all. Hallelujah. That lets me know that in life, if I face any kind of disease, I can expect the healing power of God to remove it. Hallelujah. Number four, who redeems your life from destruction. Glory, that's good to know today. So, anything that would try to destroy my life, I'm redeemed from it because I'm in covenant with God. Now notice this. Who crowns you with loving kindnesses. Now that's a nice word, loving kindnesses, but literally what it means is covenant love. His covenant love. He crowns you with that. Just to give you an example of what this is like. When David and Jonathan were together, you know, friends, they made covenant with one another. Jonathan being King Saul's son. And they made a covenant, and Jonathan said, not only do I want you to do me good to David, he said, but after I'm gone, I want this covenant to extend to my family, that you'll do them good. And after Jonathan was already been killed in battle, him and Saul together, David's king, and he's sitting on his throne, and he begins to think about that. And he asks, is there anybody of the house of Jonathan that I may do him, that I may show kindness to him? It's the same word right here. Loving kindness, the kindness. In other words, it's the Hebrew word hesed. And it means the covenant love of God, that I just may do him good. And you remember the story, Dr. Barclay preached on it one night when he was here, about Mephibosheth from Lodibar. Remember, he talked about being in Lodibar. And so Mephibosheth, you know, was a descendant of Jonathan, and David brought him into the palace and treated him royally. Because why? He was just sitting on there, and there was something inside of him yearned to fulfill that covenant. God longs to do us good. Hallelujah. He wants to be good to us. Amen. Notice, and he crowned you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Now, this word tender mercies, really, it's really interesting, because there are some places it's translated the womb, like a womb of a woman. And when you look this word up, it literally means like a mother cherishes the fetus, as we call it, in her womb. Right? I mean, godly, right-thinking mothers cherish that fetus. They don't abort it. Amen. It's no condemnation. Anybody's had an abortion, God will forgive you. But you weren't thinking right when you did that. You just weren't. Amen. I know. I hear all the liberal garbage that says, it's our body. No, the body you killed isn't your body. You killed somebody else's body. So don't throw this, it's our body, we can do what we want to with it. And, you know, no. Well, you're just saying that because you're a man, you can't have babies. I'm saying that because the Bible tells us that God knows us in the womb. And He formed and fashioned us in the womb. I'm saying that because God didn't refer to it as something that's not alive. He told Jeremiah, I knew you in the womb, man. I ordained you in the womb. So, but God has that kind of love for us, hallelujah, because we're in covenant with Him. Hey, verse 5, He satisfies your mouth with good things. Glory to God. He just wants to give you good things. I like this one. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Listen, I'm not going out of this world. You know, Kenny was talking the other Sunday morning, and he was talking about how all of us are getting older. And someday, there's going to be somebody else behind this pulpit. Going to be somebody younger. Someday, there's going to be somebody younger sitting in Kenny's chair. Not tomorrow. Not the next day or the next day or the next month or the next year. Everybody say someday.
Someday.
Someday all of us are going to be out of here, right? So, but I'm telling you what, I have a covenant with God that He renews my youth like that of the eagles. That means I'm going to live my life out. I'm going to live it strong. I'm not going broke, beat down, and can't remember anything. Amen. Now, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go that way because I have a covenant with God. I have a covenant with God. And He renews my youth like that of the eagles. These are just some of the blessings that we have in this covenant. And they're not automatic. They're appropriated by faith and your confession. You know, people make fun of that as well. You know, I'm losing my mind. The first thing they say goes is your memory, you know, and all that. I don't speak that stuff over my life. I don't. Now, people do. Christians do. Preachers do. That's up to them. But I don't know about you. I'm going to say good things. I'm going to have good things come out of my mouth over my life. My youth's renewed like the eagles. I'm not going beat down. Amen. I'm going to leave here strong. I understand. No, I'm not. I understand. The Bible tells us that the outward man is perishing. He is getting older, but he doesn't have to be beat up. Amen. Sure, I can't lift the weights I used to lift when I was 35. But I'm still healthy. Amen. Well, I can. Well, we'll just see. I remember one time Caleb, Kenny and Emily's son, got a new weight thing years ago. It was when he was younger, you know. And I was still pretty young, and you know, I was like 40-ish maybe. So I'm over at the house, and he's showing me what he's got. And I said, man, put that pin all the way down there. Put that pin all, you know, on the bench press, every one of those weights. It was 200-and-some pounds. Stick it all the way down there. And I did it. Hallelujah. He was impressed. Next day, my arm hurt like crazy. Like, what in the world? See, it said that what was it telling me? Well, you're not as young as you used to. Maybe you should have warmed up a little bit before you did this instead of just showing off here and just doing it all at once. Amen. But you know, and I understand that. But here's the thing. I know my hair went somewhere. What's left is kind of grayish whenever I let it grow out, which doesn't happen very often. You know, I understand that. But that doesn't mean I have to be sick, beat down, broke. Come on. Hallelujah. Bible says gray hair is your glory. Pastor Chuck got a lot of glory. He's full of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Now look at the New Testament. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Go there, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Come on, you get something out of this tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, just talking about our blessings, see? So there are some benefits that we have, covenant benefits that we have. I love that. He forgives all of our iniquities. He heals all. I said all of our diseases. Any disease he can heal. Oh, what about cancer? He heals cancer. Absolutely. I've known people, he's healed their cancer that they had. You know, God, he heals all diseases. Amen. Now, and Paul said this, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, he says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus. This is what you are in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So what is that saying to us? Well, it tells us that in this covenant, we have the wisdom of God. That means I can know whatever I need to know. Glory, life can't outsmart me. The devil can't outsmart me. Why? Because I've got the wisdom of God. And you can't outsmart God. Amen. I got righteousness. What's that mean? I'm in right standing with the God of the universe. Hallelujah. So the next time the devil goes, you know, trying to condemn you, just remind him what you have. I have righteousness. What do you got, Mr. Devil? You got a lot of misery coming. Amen. I have sanctification. What's that mean? That there's nothing can hold me in bondage. I'm set apart. I'm sanctified. No habit. Amen. None of that. Well, I have sanctification. I have redemption. What does that mean? I'm bought back from the hand of the enemy. Glory to God. He no longer has me. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. I don't know. Let me see. Let's go. Praise God. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28. I want you to see this. Deuteronomy 28. I'm going to look at some scripture tonight. I'm not going to just preach from one or two, but look at several. Deuteronomy 28. We're redeemed from the hand of our enemy. Praise God. We have redemption. You know that word redemption means be bought back from the pit of slavery. Hallelujah. You know, they used to, they'd bring the slaves and stand them up there before people, and people would check them out and then bid on them, you know, buy them and all. Well, that's what Jesus did. He bought us out of the pit of slavery and set us free. Hallelujah. Made us sons and daughters. Now we can choose to serve Him, praise God. And man, I'm telling you what, this master, the Bible says, has pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. Glory be to God. Now look at the 7th verse, Deuteronomy 28, verse 7. It says, "And the Lord shall cause your enemies that rise against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way, and they shall flee before you seven ways." Hallelujah. Well, you know, he's not in the New Testament. He's not, you know, it's the devil and his minions that are our enemies. We're not enemies with people. Now, people may be at enmity with us, but we walk in love. But it's the devil in them that attacks us. Right? You know, I was talking about a situation today with Phyllis. I said, you know, you have to have a reprobate mind to think the way some people think today. It's the devil. You can't think that ignorant on your own. You had to have help. Now, let's go to, thank you, Lord. Let's go to Luke chapter 13. I love this scripture in Luke 13. Luke 13. We're just talking about our covenant benefits. When the enemy, whatever that enemy may be, whatever it may be, it has to flee seven ways. Hallelujah. It has to get out of my life. That's why I'm not giving up. You know, sometimes some things, enemies want to hang around a little while. But I'm not, listen, I'm not going to just welcome them. I'm going to fight them, kick them out. How do you do that? Well, I confess things over my life that are good things. Right. I confess God's word over my health. Right. Amen. That I am healed. And I speak to my body. Right. What do you tell your body? I tell it to line up with God's word. Function the way God created you to function. I tell things, get out of my body. Inflammation, get out of my body. You can't stay in my body. Why? This body was bought by Jesus Christ, by His blood. Come on. This body, listen now, this body belongs to the Lord. Your body is God's body. Amen. Now, in Luke 13, I want to read some scripture here. Luke 13, verse 10, the Bible says, "And he," that would be Jesus, "was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise or no way lift herself up." So this woman's been this way for 18 years. "And when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and said unto her, 'Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity.'" Now, we could teach a lot on that right there, because she's been loosed for a long time. In reality. But she just hasn't possessed it. Now, notice this. "He laid His hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And he said unto the people, 'There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day.'" You talk about how dumb religion can get. Got healed on the wrong day. Come on now. This is religion. "And the Lord answered and said, 'Hypocrite,'" probably His last invite to that church, "'doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey?'" We won't say it as salty as the King James does, but anyway. "'From the stall and lead him away to watering.'" Once he said, man, if your donkey falls in the ditch on the Sabbath, you'll get it out. And you're mad at me because I got this woman out of the ditch on the Sabbath? Right? I mean, if you pull your car and you drive it in a ditch on the Sunday, you're just going, "Well, I'm just going to leave it there till Monday." No, you're going to get it out, right? This is religion for you. Amen. Religion. When people get religion, they think dumb. You know, Dr. Barclay said, he said, you know, we had one of those snow events in Michigan. And sometimes when Michigan has snow, it is an event. It's an event. And he said, you know, the ditches, you know, in Michigan, which Brian would know, he's a Michiganer, are deep because they plow all that snow into there, you know. And he said, me and Vicky are leaving for the, you know, it's after Sunday service, Sunday night service. We're going to go spend some R&R, and they have a place up north a little bit they were going to go to. And he said, I'm driving down this road, and he said, I see these red lights down in this ditch. And he said, you know, I stop. He said, I'm in my Jeep. And he said, I stop, and I get down in the ditch, and I clear the snow away, and there's a car with two older ladies inside the car, and it's running, you know. And they said, you know, we went off the road here, but, you know, somebody will come along and help us. We'll get some help, you know. They didn't have cell phone reception, you know. They couldn't get up where they were at. And he was like, somebody's here. Somebody has arrived. Oh, no, that's okay. That's the way religion is, you know. It's like these two old ladies. He tries to help you, and it's like, oh, no. And he's like, you know, he said, ladies, he said, I'm not leaving you in this ditch. He said, I've got a Jeep. I'm going to hook it up. I'm going to jerk it out, and I'm going to follow you back to town. Oh, we'll be fine. We'll find somebody to come along in a little bit. Somebody has come along. How many of somebody has come along? He had to just tell these women, you don't have any say-so. I'm jerking you out of here. I'm not leaving you down here. You're going to die down here. And so he got them out and followed them back to town. How many of somebody's come along to jerk us out of the ditch? His name was Jesus. And I don't care what day he did it on. I'm just glad he did it. And I'm sure this woman didn't care either. But look what he said, verse 16. Ought not. That's pretty positive, isn't it? He said, this woman ought to be. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound? Think of it now. He didn't say that this was the will of God. He said Satan bound her. Now, after 18 years coming to church, bowed together, people after a while think, well, it must be the will of God. You know, I'm just suffering for Jesus. And, you know, I've got bowed together ministries, incorporated. But Jesus, he blew her old testimony up right here. He said, this woman ought to be loose from this bond. And he said, lo. The King James says lo, but lo just means think of it. Think of it. Think about it. Jesus said, think about it, people. She's been bound for 18 years. Shouldn't she be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day? But I want you to notice the reason he said she ought to be loosed is because why? She's a daughter of Abraham. What's that got to do with it? Covenant. This woman's got covenant benefits, and one of them's healing. And she shouldn't have been bound for 18 years to start with. And if the pastor of the synagogue had been doing his job, he would have preached some of this. He had the Psalms. I just read the Psalm we just read, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forgetting all of his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Did you know this guy in the synagogue had that Psalm? He could have read that. He had it. It was the writings of David. It was available to him. All the Old Testament was available to him. You can read the Old Testament until God wants you healed. Amen. 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 All right, now. Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 74. This has been a really enjoyable scripture for me over the years. Psalm 74. Go there. Psalm 74. We're just talking about our benefits, our covenant benefits, you know. We have benefits. When we came into covenant with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, we got a benefit package. We have a covenant. It's our covenant with God. Psalm 74, verse 20, David said to God, he said, have respect unto the covenant. For the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. Isn't that a powerful scripture? David saying to God, hey, look on the covenant, have respect to it, because there's a lot of cruel places in this earth. That's good to know today. Because there's a lot of cruel people out there right now, folks. But we got a covenant. Hallelujah. We got a covenant that protects us in the dark places of the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. All right. I want to look at two more scriptures. Is that all right? Go to Genesis chapter 15. I know we're looking at a lot of scripture tonight and doing a lot of reading, but we're talking about our benefits. Amen. Genesis chapter, and I'm going to pray for you before we go. Genesis chapter 15. Go there. Genesis 15. Thank God. Thank God. You know, this earth is full of demonic forces that hates us believers. Hates us. And they manifest sometimes through people. But it is good to know that I'm in covenant with God. Hallelujah.
That's
right. Amen. And you know what? Listen now. I'm in covenant with God, and I want to tell you something. He's my big brother. Hallelujah. It's always nice having a big brother when you're in school. At least one that would get in fights, like mine would. You know, because people would, you know, well, don't mess with him, or his brother-in-law would whack you upside the head. You know how it is when you're kids. I don't know if it was like these. You know, we might fight one another, but don't you fight. You know, don't do that. Amen. And so, you know, I'm still that way. You know, I mean, maybe it's not all Christian sanctified, but, you know, if somebody hit one of my brothers, I mean, I'm on them. There's more than just a suit here. You know what I'm talking about? There's some muscle down in there somewhere. Oh, there used to be. Phyllis married me for my arms, but she's kept me for my money. Hallelujah. Now, wait a minute now. When we got married as a man, you told me how much you liked my arms because I had muscles in those days. I had muscles in those days. I still got them. They just don't poke out. They don't move anything now. They don't move when I do that. They used to like, boom, and now they just go, choom. But that's because I don't work out any longer. That's my fault. You know, I quit. Now, Genesis, look at this in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. It's talking about Abraham. Genesis 15, 6, it says, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. You want to know how to get saved? Believe in the Lord. He'll count it to you for righteousness. And he said, now this is what the Lord said to Abraham. He said unto him, I am the Lord that brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it. And he, Abraham, said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Now, I want you to think about it. See, to me, if God told you he's going to give you something, that's enough. But Abraham, they thought in this Eastern thinking, in those days, that wasn't enough for them. They understood covenant. You can tell me something, but even Hebrews talks about it. When you make a covenant, it's the end of all strife. There's no more debate about it. Because they understood if you made a covenant, then that was it. And so Abraham says, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And notice verse 9, he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, a she or female goat of 3 years old, a ram and three young, a ram of 3 years old, a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he took unto them all these and divided them in the midst and laid the pieces one against one another, but the birds he divided not. Now, see, that sounds strange to us, but see, you understand, you do a little study about this, and you find out that is the way they made covenants in those days. They split, and I won't go into the teaching on it, we don't have time, but just take my word for it, that's the way they made covenants. So God was just letting Abraham know, here's what he was doing. Abraham said, you know, the Lord said, I'm going to give you all this land. I'm going to give it all to you. And Abraham said, well, how do I know that? I mean, Abraham, you're talking to God Almighty who cannot lie. He said, how do I know that? And God said, all right, I'm going to make a covenant with you. That's how you're going to know it. See, when you read on down, we'll read, we'll just skip down to verse 18. We'll go back and look at some of the other stuff in a minute. And in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. See, when Abraham said, Lord, how do I know you're going to give me this land? God said, I'll make a covenant with you. And that'll settle it in your mind that you're going to get this land. Now, here's the something. in verse 11, "And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away." He drove them away. See, when there's going to be fowls that try to come down on our covenant and try to steal it, we got to drive them away. Do you understand what I'm talking about? How many got what I just said there? There's going to be demonic forces. They're going to try to rob us of our covenant. We have to know that. We have to stand. Abraham drove them away. Notice it didn't say God drove them away. It said Abraham did it. Abraham could have said, "Well, God, I'm here making a covenant with you, and these birds are trying to steal the offering. Aren't you going to do something about it?" No, it's up to you. It's like Brother Hagin said one time, the Lord told him about an evil spirit. He said, "If you hadn't done something about that, I couldn't." Brother Hagin said, I know I didn't hear you right, Jesus. You didn't say you couldn't. You said you wouldn't, didn't you?" The Lord said, "No, I could not." "I know I'm not hearing you right." He said, You didn't say you couldn't. You said you wouldn't, right?" He said, the Lord got rid of the fact, "No, I said I couldn't. Could not." Brother Hagin said, "Well, that beats anything I ever heard." He said, I've never heard that in my life." He said, "You're going to have to prove that to me out of two or three scriptures in the New Testament." He said, Jesus said to him, said, "I'll do you one better. I'll show you four." Now, what did Jesus mean by "I could not"? Now, see, right now, I lost 93.5% of the church is in Evansville right there. But God gave us authority. And if we don't do anything about it, nothing's going to be done about it. You understand that? We don't do anything about it, nothing's going to be done. He gave us authority. It's not that He doesn't have the power to do it. It's not His place to do it. It's up to us now. He gave us authority. I've used this before to say, for instance, you work for you're hiring as a new police officer. You're sworn in. You're given a badge. Even Barney knew the badge meant something. It meant authority, see. And so you're on the job the first night. You're working the night shift, you know. And so you somebody's speeding down the expressway. And so you say, "Well, something ought to be done about this, you know. I'm going to call the chief of police." And you call him and say, "Somebody's speeding down the expressway. Can I have your authority to pull them over? Will you give me your permission to pull them over?" How many know he's going to stop that first night? You got him out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning to ask him if you could use your authority? You have the authority. It's not up to him. It's up to you now. Amen. That's all the Lord was telling Brother Hagin when the Lord told him. He said, "If you hadn't done something about that evil spirit, I couldn't have." It's not that he doesn't have the power to. It's just that wasn't his place to. Amen. So Abraham drove him off. Everybody say he drove him off. Now, look at verse 17. Come on, are you still with me now? I'm getting ready to close, but I'm going to read one more scripture before we do. "And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace or oven and a burning lamp or torch passed between those pieces." What was that? See, that was God Almighty, amen, walking in the midst of that covenant. Wow-wee. Hallelujah. I'd like to teach on that because there's a lot of teaching in that. But God is a covenant-making God. Amen. Amen. Exodus chapter 2. Let's close right here. Exodus 2. This helped me tremendously when I found this out as a new convert about covenant. It did a lot for my life. Because there's so many believers that they're just waiting on God to do something. And God's already done something. He's already moved. He's waiting on us now. He's waiting on us. In Exodus chapter 2, I want to read this, I know we've looked at a lot of scriptures tonight, but it's really important we understand we got benefits when we got born again. we came into covenant. Now, you may not, people may not know about them, but they still got them. They still got them. I've never understood, maybe you do this, and I'm not criticizing you, but I've never understood. I've had friends that have done it. Say, well, you know, I've got like 10 vacation days, and if, you know, if I don't use them up, you know, then I lose them, and then they lose them. I don't know how you do that. I'm taking every one of them. I'm not losing any of those. I'm not losing any of my benefits. But I've had people that tell me that, you know, well, I lost, you know, you lose your vacation. Well, I didn't take them, you know. And what? You need to have your head examined. I'm taking all my benefits. How about you? You know, they give you those personal days. I never had any. I never worked at a place that gave you personal days. You know what I'm saying? They have mental health days now. In my day, they just said, get over it. Get to work or you're fired. Somehow you sucked it up and got over it. That's one of our problems today is we pamper and baby our problems. We treat them like it's the end of the world. And wonder why the suicide rate is so high. It's because people don't have any backbone any longer. They don't have any stuffing inside of them any longer. They're just weak. We've produced a society of weak people. They've tried to make all the men into women, feminine. Get you some cotton underwear. Get rid of those silk underwears. It's like Dr. DeFrayne one time had a guy working for him, and he kind of walking sissy-fied. He kicked him in the rear end and said, walk like John Wayne. I really did. I saw this. This has nothing to do with my message, but I saw this thing, and it said that a lot of the younger women are marrying older guys now. Because, and they said, the women said, because they want a real man. I thought, yeah, I understand. Y'all looking at me like, I don't believe that survey. It's true. You know, they're looking for some men. Amen. Now, all right, now, verse 23. Come on. Exodus 2:23. It says, it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up to God by reason of the bondage. Now this is when they were in Egypt. See? And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and the King James says, he had respect unto them, or he acknowledged them. What's it saying? It's saying he acknowledged they were covenant people. Here's what I like. There's a translation, the NLT, where it says God had respect unto them. The NLT says God knew it was time to act. It was time to do something. Why? Because these people are in bondage and God's in covenant with them. Hallelujah. Now, you know what? It's up to us, you know, whether we stand. Like they cried out. But, you know, today we understand that we cry out in faith, right? That's how we cry out. We don't cry out in misery. We cry out in faith. And when we do, I mean, God, he goes to acting, praise God. Hallelujah. Because why? We got benefits. We got benefits. Amen. You know, as I get older, you know, I get these. I used to get them. You get them online now. Social Security statements, you know, because there's benefits that are waiting on you. You know what I'm saying? They're benefits, and all. Well, you got to claim them. You got to claim them. You got to put in for them. And I'm going to do that. Not now. I'm not there yet. But I'm going to wait till I'm 70. But then I'm going to put in for them. I'm going to get them. Why? Because they belong to me. They're part of my benefits. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. Thank God for our covenant.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.